Choosing the independent route in book publishing is a good way for an author to make it big. It can also be a big mistake. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. The book world this week is full of news from the ranks of indie or self-published authors. Good news for one children's author and bad news for several who feel cheated. And for another, the news is definitely in shades of gray. Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, joins me for our weekly Friday roundup. And welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So indeed, we are going to be talking mostly about the self-publishing world this week. And we'll start with a case that we've watched for some time against service provider Author Solutions. Apparently, it has ended. That does not mean, though, that the legal trouble is over for Author Solutions. Please explain.
Yeah, that's right. As we expected, a potential class action case against service provider Author Solutions that was filed in New York in 2013 has finally been discontinued after an undisclosed settlement. And this is, as you said, a development we expected in this case after a familiar name to our listeners, Judge Denise Coate, just weeks ago denied the case class action status. Now, as we discussed a few weeks ago, that decision really did turn out to be a fatal blow to this case. But obviously, it's a blow that the plaintiff attorneys saw coming, because in March of this year, they filed a new lawsuit against Author Solutions in the state of Indiana. So with new author representatives and nearly identical claims to the case in New York, at least for now, the lawyers are still at work.
Well, goody for the lawyers, I suppose. But remind us why the case in New York was spiked and why a new case should be now underway in Indiana.
Sure. So the case in New York had pretty much a rocky path right from the start. It was first filed in April of 2013, and it alleged a range of charges from fraud to failure to pay royalties. In all, I think there were eight specific allegations laid out by a handful of plaintiff authors in that original suit against Author Solutions. But over the next year, the trouble really sort of began. Two amended complaints needed to be filed, charges were narrowed, and Author Solutions' parent company, Penguin, was severed from the suit. The roster of named plaintiffs in that case also was evolving and changing, and that created jurisdictional issues because in January of 2015, plaintiff Kelvin James, for whom the suit is named, withdrew, and that left no plaintiff in New York. And that meant that the final two plaintiffs, who resided in Colorado and California, had to create subclasses because their state laws require the establishment of subclasses. So in the end, the New York case, which began with eight claims, came down to only allegations of fraud in the California subclass and only involved the iUniverse brand under Author Solutions. Now, that's only one brand under a number of brands within the Author Solutions family. And in her 30-page decision denying the class action status in June, Judge Coate found that that fraud claim wasn't backed up with evidence and thus denied class certification. And then she set up the settlement conference, which took place on August 11th before a magistrate here in New York. And she strongly urged the parties to settle the case, which, taking her hint, they promptly did.
Okay, so we are trying to follow all this. There's a lot here. And this case in Indiana, that's because the contracts were written in Indiana.
That's exactly right. Simply put, because as Judge Cole pointed out in her decision, the relationships in question in this case were all governed by contracts, and those contracts stated that disputes were to be governed by Indiana law. So now we have a new set of author plaintiffs and a new suit, which was filed at the end of March in Indiana, mostly with almost identical claims to the suit that was originally filed in New York. And of course, this all urges the question, you know, was this case botched by the lawyers initially, or how badly was this case botched? Did they really have to go through these 2 years of expensive litigation in New York only to now have to start over anew in Indiana? But frankly, you know, whether or not this case was botched in New York and we waste a lot of time and energy, or the lawyers did there, I'm not sure that that's the biggest problem facing the plaintiffs now in Indiana.
Well, what could be an even bigger problem than that?
Well, because Judge Coe, when she, in the New York case, she did move along quite a bit. And in her decision denying class certification, she actually ruled on some key issues and ruled on the merits. Most notably, you know, she pretty much blasted the plaintiff's case as sort of searching, rather fumbling for a theory on which it could proceed before finally settling on fraud. Basically, the plaintiffs in the Author Solutions case in New York argued that Author Solutions was running some systematic con game, that they were essentially and importantly hiding hiding the fact that, as the authors argue, Author Solutions is really a telemarketing firm that's built to sell worthless services to unsuspecting authors. But with discovery completed in the case, Judge Coate actually found that there was no evidence presented at all of a centrally orchestrated scheme by Author Solutions. So unless the plaintiffs find a smoking gun in the discovery phase of the Indiana case, I wonder if that's going to change. In addition, Judge Coate noted that the contracts in question lacked any specific obligations for Author Solutions. And as for the marketing language on the website, which claimed to prime authors for retail success, she also found those claims to be not necessarily fraud, but more or less puffery. So unless there's a lot more evidence out there to be gathered that can gain traction under Indiana law, I do wonder how far that this new case in Indiana can go. Now, there are people who I've heard say, well, maybe Indiana is a better venue for this case, to which I say, maybe, because I really don't know Indiana law at all. But I do know this, there is probably a reason why Author Solutions specified Indiana law to govern its contracts. And I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do, has everything to do, I should say, with limiting their exposure and nothing to do with giving authors more ability to sue them. So you know, it's pretty much the same reason that so many banks and credit card companies named Delaware as their venue for disputes, because that's where the laws are the best for them. You know, I reached out to the plaintiff attorney, Oren Giskin, who was out of the country traveling, but I'll look to connect with him again when he returns and see what he can tell me. But, you know, I have to say I remain a little doubtful about the future of this case. Barring a smoking gun, I don't know that it's got better prospects in Indiana than it had in New York.
All right. Well, we do have some better prospects for another self-publishing story, a book that was designed to put kids to sleep, has become a bestseller. Tell us about that.
Yes, indeed. You know, some news that reminds us that indie success is very, very real, very possible. You know, you may have heard about the book. It's called The Rabbit Who Wants to Fall Asleep. It was self-published by a Swedish author named Carl Johan Forsen Erlin, and it claims to use psychological tricks that will lull children to sleep in minutes. So I need to get that book, first and foremost. but second of all, you know, it was published a year ago and only recently managed to get a little publicity. A couple of articles appeared in some newspapers, and then it really got a lot of viral attention. I'm sure maybe someone at Amazon had something to do with pushing that along a little bit, because it very quickly hit number one in print sales on Amazon in the US, the UK, and Canada, and it's broken into the top 10 in other European territories as well. And now, this week, we learned that the book has been acquired by Random House. The Random House officials this week were not confirming that. We pretty much have it on good authority that indeed Random House has picked up the rights.
All right. Well, that's the kind of story that will keep self-published authors awake at night as they think about their next book. And it certainly is true, as you say, that success can happen in self-publishing. It's a story we explored at the Miami Book Fair with Jenny Pedroza, who was one of the original co-publishers of 50 Shades of Grey. And now a federal judge has delivered some good news for her this week.
That's right. A federal judge, I think it was late last year, ruled that Jenny's partners had actually tricked her into restructuring a deal that had cut her out of royalties for the Random House edition for 50 Shades of Grey. Well, a court this week has set aside $10.7 million in back royalty payments for Pedroza. So a very nice payday indeed is in store for Jenny, and it's well earned. And I think this is also a pretty nice reminder of how successful self-publishing has become, what it can achieve, and how it really is working in tandem with traditional publishing. You know, both The Rabbit Who Wants to Fall Asleep book has now been picked up by Random House, just as E.L. James's book, which started with Jenny Pedroza's outfit, has been picked up by Random House. And, you know, and just to try to tie it up all up with a bow to the Author Solutions case, you know, while I'm not really convinced that that case is going to win in a court of law, I think the Author Solutions company as a whole has already lost in the court of public opinion, because there is a lot of competition out there among service providers for self-published works now. And there's more than a few success stories. And some of the practices that were alleged in the complaints against Author Solutions really are quite disturbing. So even if the court doesn't go ahead and take care of Author Solutions, the maturity of the market is really pointing people, I think the market will take care of Author Solutions, we'll put it that way. I think the maturity of the market shows that there are a lot of outfits out there that won't show up in a Google search for having a class action lawsuit lodged against them. So when it comes to self-publishing, I wish we had more success stories like these last two to talk about, and hopefully in the future we'll have fewer negative experiences like the ones reported by customers of Author Solutions.
But, you know, Andrew, if we only talked about the good stories, that would put our listeners to sleep. So we have to keep talking about some of those things which turn out not quite so well for authors. We wish Jenny Pedroza well getting that money. And we want to thank you for joining us as you do every week here on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, as always.
Just a note for listeners that Beyond the Book takes a vacation next week ahead of the Labor Day weekend. Andrew Albanese and I will return for the fall on September 11th. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as movies, images, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.